I encourage you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Be looking at verse 15 for the basis of our lesson this morning. Our bulletin has an outline concerning the church, and it ties in with the one we had last Sunday morning, but I'm going to refrain from getting into that lesson this morning and go another route and talk about some things in the church, and Lord's willing, we'll take up with that lesson perhaps in the next lesson or next Sunday morning. Depends on how far we get with the points we're going to make in this lesson. I wanted to tie these together, but there have been numerous ones called that are sick, that's got problems, and we didn't get to hear that on the announcements this morning, so we hear that between services at those announcements. So looking at these things, it's important that as a Christian, I understand my responsibility to the Lord's church, and you understand your responsibility to the Lord's church. And we had a lesson about that a couple of months ago concerning my responsibility to the church. But we're not necessarily going to talk about our responsibility to the church, but the things, the functioning within the body of the church, the local congregation. If it doesn't function the way the scriptures teach and show us by example that the church functioned in the early days of the church, when the apostles were teaching inspired by the Holy Spirit and the information Christ left behind for the apostles, we're failing. And so we need to be involved in concentrating on being a strong body of Christ. Not just here at Beulah, but in every area. Doesn't matter if you're in Southwest Coleman County or Northwest Coleman County or in the city of Coleman or anywhere in the state of Alabama or throughout the United States or around the world where there are a group of people, be it 4 or 5 or 500 that meet together as a congregation, we need to strive to make that congregation be as Christ would have it to be. And so we look at this morning at 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And actually, I want to back up and look at verse 14. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, the young preacher, and he says, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. Now, certainly Paul wanted Timothy as a preacher to behave himself properly as a Christian. And he covers that extensively as he writes to Timothy and tells him about the fact that he, as a young man, he needs to be one that sets a good example to others. He needs to be one that's standing for the truth. He needs to be one that's an open book, that whatever he's doing in his life is according to what's right, and others can look at him and see a good example in him. But this is not just about Timothy and the pillar on the ground of truth. He's saying, Timothy, this is the way one ought to conduct himself in the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. So Christians make up the church. We know that when we hear the word of God and we believe it from the heart and we're baptized into Christ, the Lord himself adds us to his body, the church. Thus, we function then as a body of Christ together as numerous various members within a certain group. For instance, at Jerusalem, we know there were 3,000 souls that day and they were added to the church. So there was at least 3,000 there, and then the number came to be 4,000 and 5,000, and they were multiplied many times over and again as Peter and John preached the gospel there in Jerusalem. And then the church was scattered abroad and the church grew. People were baptized. They worshiped in their local places. And we have letters that show that there are local churches from, you know, Antioch, Corinth, Philadelphia, Laodicea, all Thessalonica, all these places where people met, and the functioning then of those people together of one mind and one spirit as the people of God was very important. And so today, it's important that myself, as a Christian, as a gospel preacher, as a member of the body of Christ, and that as you, as a member of the body of Christ, man or woman, that we will behave ourselves properly in the church of the Lord. He says, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. So how important is the church? It's very important. It's the pillar and support of the truth. It is the foundation. It is the very foundation on which truth rests, because the church is established upon the Word of God, and that being that it belongs to God, it belongs to Christ, so it's the pillar on the ground of the truth. It is a foundation of good things. It is a foundation of truth. And if it's a foundation of truth and obeying the oracles of God, then we are in that body. So we need to be people who are portraying truth in our life by our actions on a daily basis, but also as a group when we meet together. And so let's think about that. Our behavior in the church is very important. If you will, look back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to read a few verses there, but we'll begin in verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 23. But now, as we think about behaving ourselves in the church, that we are a representative of the church every day. We're a representative of Christ every day. So it doesn't matter if we're at home, if we're out in the street, if we're out doing business with someone, if we're at work, if we're at school, wherever we're at, we ought to walk in a way that's representing Christ in a good way, and that we're shedding a good light on the church, because we represent the church as a part of that body. So others see us. They ought to see Christ in us and see good things about the church. But then when the church comes together, it's important that we do the things God asks us to do within the worship. And as we do those things, we do them in the right attitude and in the right way, in the proper manner, and carry them out. And there's a reason for that. Number one is that God may be glorified and worshiped in the right way. And that number two, that we may be edified and upbuilded in the faith by being here. And so it's important that the assembly and the worship services go well in a congregation. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 23. Here the Apostle Paul says, if therefore the whole church should assemble together and all speak in tongues, and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are mad? Paul's saying there's a reason there ought to be orderliness in the worship. If an outsider comes in, they need to be able to see and hear and understand what's going on, so they don't leave confused. Or so they don't point a finger and say, those people are mad. And so our assembly is important, the way we carry it out. He says in verse 24, but if all prophesy, and an unbeliever, an ungifted man enters, and he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Now we understand that when Paul wrote this, the Bible, the entire scripture was not complete, and everyone at that point did not have a copy of the scriptures. And so the inspiration of Paul and Peter and others that was preaching, they were given the inspired inspiration of God to these people and telling them how things ought to be. And they could lay hands on certain ones who could receive certain powers to be able to carry on the work of God. But when that person died, they could not pass that on to anyone else, because then, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away. So these tongues and these prophecies and these things were a part leading up to the whole of the completion of the scriptures. So these things happened in the early church, but they don't happen today in the church. But we're to teach, and it's to be done decently and orderly. We're to sing, and it's to be done decently and orderly. We're to offer up service to God and worship to God by observing the Lord's Supper, breaking the bread, remembering the Lord's body, and drinking of the fruit of the vine, and remember His blood that we shed. These are the things we have command and examples to do in the church today. So when we come together, if the whole church comes together, there's a tone that's to be set. When I come in that assembly door, whether it be a tent or whether we're meeting out under a big oak tree, when we come together and we come together and the worship starts, the tone is that we're here for a certain purpose, to worship God, to glorify Him, to do the things He asks us to do, and to do those things decently and in order, in spirit and in truth, that all may be edified and that God may be glorified. That's fairly simple to understand, but let's read the rest of these verses, going to verses 27 on down. If anyone speaks in the tongue, it should be by two, at the most three, and each in turn, and let one interpret. Why, Paul? So people can understand. So there's orderliness in the worship, so people get something out of the worship. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So Paul says there shouldn't be any rambling going on. There shouldn't be any some kind of verbiage being taught by a language nobody can understand, because that's useless. It needs to be done in a way that all can understand. And let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made in another who is seated, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one. There it is again, the orderliness of it. So that all may learn and all may be exhorted. There's a reason for that. Now remember, some of the things they had, the miraculous powers, are no longer in effect today. So we've got the Word of God to teach. We've got the Word of God to talk about. And when we discuss it, it ought to be done in a way so that all can understand. The Word of God is taught. It's not watered down. It's not added to. He says, and the spirits and the prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And so Paul's saying, Corinth, when you come together, there's some of the people there that have certain powers that have been they have because the apostles has laid hands on them, and they can do that to confirm the word and prove that what they're teaching is the truth. And there are some that may be able to do these things, but go back to 1 Corinthians 13 again. But when the time comes, when that which is perfect is come, which is the complete revelation of the Bible, a few short years later after this, all that went away. And so we had the complete revelation of God. So today we've got the complete revelation of God. And so the application of 1 Corinthians 14 applies to us today just like it did them, although we don't have miraculous gifts and powers and being able to prophesy the future. We can teach in that type of prophecy, but not... We can teach the Word of God, but not tell the future unless we look at the Word of God and see what it says concerning the future. And so the idea of coming together to worship God, to do it in the right way. So then, he goes on and talks about these things. And in verse 36, he says, what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. And he goes on and he covers this even further all the way down as we've been reading this morning. And then he goes in verse 34, and there's orderliness in the worship. He says, let the women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but let them subject themselves just as the law also says. So the orderliness in the worship comes in the term of authority. Christ is the head. Those who speak are to teach the truth of God, and that's the only thing they're to teach is the truth of God, nothing more and nothing less. And there's subjection in that. The woman is to be subject to her husband. So there's a reason that God set it up that way. Now, society today and religion today would tend to disagree. But they can disagree all they want because they have that choice to disagree. But they're disagreeing with God when they do. And it wouldn't be a good idea to disagree with God, because God is truth. God is all wise. He's all knowing, and He's everywhere. He made mankind. It is in Him that we live and move and have our very being. And so it's God's Word that's going to judge us. His own Son is going to judge us by the Word we're studying this morning according to the things we've done in our body. So when people say and take things out of context and say, it's okay for women to preach publicly and to speak up over a man, they are disagreeing with God. But they would have an argument to say that we disagree with them. No, We agree with God. And if we agree with God and do as He says, then we're pleasing God. That's our goal. But if they disagree and do otherwise, who are they disagreeing with? They're disagreeing with God. God. And so there's the idea of coming together to worship God and understand who we're subject to. We're subject to Christ, who is head over all things to the church. We're subject to who? We're subject to God the Father. Christ is subject to Him as head of the church, and we're subject to Christ in the body. And so in that, there's a line. There's a chart. There's a system that's followed in worship so that our worship may be done decently in order and in spirit and in truth. Let's go ahead on down and look at a few other verses. He goes ahead and talks about learning things in verses 35 and 36. And he says, was it from you that the word of God first went forth, or has it come to you only? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandments. See, Paul is sticking with the theme. What's in the word of God, it comes from God. We need to respect it, we need to obey it, and if we do and we carry it out in the right way, what's our worship service going to be? It's going to be decent, it's going to be orderly, and it's going to be according to God's will. But verse 38, but if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So God expects us to have a worship service that's acceptable to Him, so He will recognize us as worshiping Him. He knows everything everyone's doing. But we certainly want to be in the sight of God acceptable. And so there's a outline to follow. There's a system to follow. There's a manner in which we come together to worship God. Then verse 40, he says, but let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. So this morning we've read a few verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We looked at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 that says, Paul told Timothy how a man ought to behave himself in the house of the living God, in the church of the living God. And so there's behavior every day in our daily life, and there's behavior in the worship. And both ways, whether we're not in the worship or whether we're in the worship, it ought to reflect the things of God and please Him. But our worship service is very important, and we're in a series concerning the study of the church. Last Sunday morning we talked about the Old Testament prophecies that led us up to the New Testament, the prophecies that did come to pass. And the Lord's willing, in our next lesson that we study on the church, it will be about the New Testament prophecies and things that pointed to the church in the Gospels that tie in with the Old Testament prophecies that pointed to that. And then the church was established in Acts chapter 2. And we look back today, 2,000 something years later, we can look back to that and see that all those things came to pass. So the church is real. The church is God's family. The church belongs to Christ, which He purchased with His blood, Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30. So then, as we think about the church and we think about the body of Christ, and you coming here this morning to worship with me, and us being here this morning and we were led in prayer. Brother Barry led us in prayer, and we listened to the words he said to God, leading our minds in prayer to who? To God. And incidentally, that's another reason why it's good to have announcements, so people can know if there are certain people maybe that needs to be mentioned in prayer. There may be some in our congregation this morning that there are those who are out today that want to be mentioned in the prayer and be remembered in prayer. And Adam will mention them before the next service. But in every service, we ought to be able to let people know, especially of our members that need prayer, so they can be remembered. We may not necessarily call them by name, but we can pray for those that were announced about. And God knows who we're talking about, right? So worship services are important, the way we carry them out and the things that are done in a worship service. So announcements are not necessarily part of the worship, but they're done and then we start the worship. And they're just there to inform us of what's going on. You know, who's going to lead singing? Who's going to lead prayer? How many songs are we going to sing? so people know when they're prepared. And if someone is absent, if someone's absent and a man's assigned to do something, lead a prayer, then he needs to let someone know so that the one who announces, so we can do it what? Decently in order, can say, okay, brother, so-and-so is going to lead us in prayer. So when we get there and we start to have prayer, there's not a minute of silence before someone decides, I better lead the prayer. And that has happened over the years. And it could still happen today because we're human, right? But things like that are important in carrying on our worship service to God. For instance, preaching. You know, my preaching style is not necessarily like some of the preachers, but hopefully we all preach the truth. The truth's what's important, that we all preach the truth. But my preaching style is somewhat different from some other preachers, and because we're human. They're human and I'm human, so our style may be a little bit different. Some may speak a little faster, some a little louder, some a little lower. Some may read more scriptures and some less. Some may comment more on the scriptures than others do, and that's okay. We had a variety of scriptures in the New Testament, in the New Testament. Peter and John and Paul and Timothy and all those that preached, Titus, they were different men with different characteristics and different personality. But the thing was important was that whether it was 6'5" or 5'2", whether they were deep bass voice or whether they were high soprano, that they preached the truth. That they preached the truth. And so when a sermon's being preached, there ought to be the respect of understanding that if we're going to do this discipline decently in order and everyone's going to gain all they can from this sermon, then it ought to have some guts to it. It ought to have some kind of system to it to where people are introduced into that sermon. They know what we're talking about and the subject matter is exposed and talked about, the scriptures, and there's a conclusion brought to in that lesson, and people can reap something from that lesson. Hopefully they're pricked in their hearts and moved to listen to the Word of God. That's good. But then as a minister, as Paul told Timothy, how he ought to behave himself in the house of the Lord. And so you think about Timothy going and preaching maybe where Paul had preached before. He's a young preacher and he's trying to live a good life and trying to be a good example. And so he goes to Corinth maybe and he's preaching. Is he going to be a cocky young man that says, you know, these people really haven't heard me for a time or two. I'm going to show them what I'm made out of. And he preaches for an hour and 15 minutes and half of them's asleep. No, Timothy needs to learn to behave himself. And if after 42 minutes, his congregation they're give out. Their heads are nodding. He ought to bring it to a close. Bring it to a close. So that what the people did receive, they got something out of it. But yet it ought to be enough in that, maybe 70 minutes, it may be 15 minutes, it may be 25 minutes. There ought to be enough in that lesson so that people can have a lesson from the Word of God and receive from it something from it, good from it. Both the hearer and the speaker. Same way with announcements. If I'm assigned to make announcements, then certainly I need to cover the basics. Who's serving today? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? And get that information out. I need to get that information out on who has requested prayer in our congregation, what's going on, the things that need of that nature. There might be various things that are announced, like gospel meetings or singings, but then it's not my place in making the announcements to do the song leading for the song leader or the preaching for the preacher. And it's not my place as a preacher to do those things for someone else. But these things can be talked about in a Bible class or they can be talked about in a sermon. But all those things are important when it comes to worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and worshiping Him and doing as God would have us to do. Now, the congregation at Beulah, we're thankful to be here and be a part of it. Because I believe the services are carried out in a good way. I believe everyone is here to do it the right way. I believe everyone is here to receive a message from God and to share it with others and to leave edified and that God will be glorified and to be upbuilded in the faith. I believe that's happening here. But it might get to the point sometime when it doesn't happen. If we don't review and think about our teaching, our preaching, our announcements, our prayers, our contribution, and the Lord's Supper. Certainly, that is a vital part of the worship. We come together on the first day of the week to remember the Lord's death till He comes again. The meaning of the bread, the unleavened bread, the meaning of the fruit of the vine, the blood of Christ, what it means to us. And when we're reminded of that, we can concentrate on it. And so the way we carry out our service, every part of it, the Lord's Supper, the prayers, the singing, the teaching and the preaching, the things that are done, how ought it to be done? Decently and in order, in spirit and in truth, that God may be glorified and all may be edified. And I don't think it hurts at all to review these things sometimes, as we have this morning. Just a review. Just a reminder for me, so that when I'm thinking about Thursday, getting ready for Sunday morning, and my wife's preparing herself, and Jason's preparing himself, and we're studying our Bible class, I'm preparing the sermon or trying to get the bulletin ready, preparing for Sunday morning, that the whole purpose of that is coming together to worship God in spirit and truth, to glorify and worship God, to remember His Son's death till He comes again, and to be edified and upbuilded, and to admonish and edify others. You can't find a better blessing than that anywhere in the world. And I think we need to really make the most of it as Christians. Make the most of our Bible classes. And it's been said here before, I'm thankful for the teachers we have here, both men and women, who are willing to teach. The women who will teach the children, the men who teach all of us. Thankful for that. Some congregations are struggling just to have one or two men. And there may be more men in those congregations than we have here. We have a lot of good men here that are willing to step up and teach. And so, teaching of the Word of God is important. Preaching of the Word of God is important. Matter of fact, Paul told Timothy to teach other men, faithful men, who in turn will be able to teach others also. So this morning, certainly we're studying about the church and the establishment of the church, the prophecies concerning the church. But when we're thinking about that, let's also think about what the church is, what it's made up of, and who we are. We are members of the body of Christ. And let's make it be what God would have it to be according to His Scriptures. Thank you for your attention. Hope the lesson will edify us and encourage us to do good in our life daily and in our service together in worshiping Him. So Matthew's going to lead us in an invitation song this morning. If there's anyone here that has a need for the prayers of the brethren or your desires to be baptized into Christ, and we can help you with that, Matthew's going to come forward right now and lead us in the invitation song.